বিহারী গোপী জানা বালাবা গিরিবার ধারি জায়া গোপী জানা বালাবা গিরিবার ধারি চাসর নন্দনা ব্রজ জন রঞ্জন চাসর নন্দনা ব্রজ জন রঞ্জন যমুনা তীর বনচারি যমুনা তীর বনচারি জয় রাধা মাধব কুঞ্জ বিহারী জয় রাধা মাধব কুঞ্জ বিহারী জয় গোপী জন বালব গিরিবর ধারি গোপী জন বালব গিরিবর ধারি যশোর নন্দন ব্রজ জন রঞ্জন যশোর নন্দন ব্রজ জন রঞ্জন যমুনা তীর বনচারি যমুনা তীর বনচারি জয় রাধা মাধব কুঞ্জ বিহারি জয় রাধা মাধব কুঞ্জ বিহারি হরে কৃষ্ণ 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 হরে 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 রাম 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 হরে 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 কৃষ্ণ 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 হরে 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 রাম 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 হরে 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 কৃষ্ণ 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 হরে 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 রাম 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 হরে 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 কৃষ্ণ 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 হরে 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 রাম হরে রাম 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 হরে 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 কৃষ্ণ 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 হরে 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 রাম 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 হরে 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 কৃষ্ণ 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 হরে 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 রাম 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 হরে 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 কৃষ্ণ 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 হরে 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 রাম 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 হরে হরে জয় গৌরনিতাই 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 জয় গৌরনিতাই 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 জয় গৌরনিতাই রাধে শ্যাম রাধে শ্যাম রাধে শ্যাম জয় জয় রাধে শ্যাম Prabhupada Jaya Prabhupada Jaya Prabhupada Jaya Prabhupada 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 Jaya Prabhupada জয় বিষ্ণুপাদ পরমহংসা ব্রিবাজ গচার জস্তু তরতি শীষ মারে শ্রী ভক্ত স্বামী প্রভুপাদ কি জয় শান্তি করি বৈষ্ণবিন্দ কি আমাচার্য হরিদাস ঠাকুর কি প্রেম শ্রী গৌর শ্রীকৃষ্ণ চৈতন্য ভুব নিত্যানন্দ সাদ্বৈত গিরাধর শ্রী বাসদি গৌর ভক্তবৃন্দ শ্রী রাধা কৃষ্ণ গোপীনাথ শ্যামকুন্দ রাধাকুন্দ গিরি গোবর্ধন কি Javindam ki, Maya Purnabhidam ki, Jagannapuri dam ki, Nunabhidweep dam ki. All glories to the Asama devotees.
Hare Krishna.
All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees.
Hare Krishna.
Srimad Bhagavatam. Okay. Give me 1 second. I left the book in the other room by accident.
Well, if I didn't get a chance to say before, welcome everybody. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
I think we have more of us trapped on the pre-conference today.
All right. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 Okay, Srimad Bhagavatam, Narayanam Namaskritya, Naram Chaiva Narottamam, Devim Saraswatim Vyasam Tato Jaya Mudiraye, Sarvashtra Sabdi Piyushra, Sarvedaika Satpala, Sarvasiddhanta Ratnadhyā, Sarvalokaika Drikpada, O nectar from the ocean of all scripture, singular fruit of all the Vedas, rich mine of the precious gems of all conclusive truths, you are the only giver of sight to all the world. Sava Bhagavata Prana, Shrimad Bhagavata Prabhu, Kali Danto Dita Ditya, Shri Krishna Paribhartita. O life heir of all the Supreme Lord's devotees, Master of Bhagavatam, you are the sun risen in the darkness of Kali. You are the exact image of Krishna. Paramananda Pataya, Prema Varshaksharayate, Sarvada Sarvasevyaya Shri Krishnaya Namostute. I bow to you who are supremely blissful to read. Your every syllable pours down a flood of prema. You can always be served by everyone. You are Shri Krishna himself. Madhika Bando Matsangin Madguru Madmahadana Manistarika Madbhagya Madananda Namostute. Oh, my only friend, constant companion, my guru, my great wealth, savior, my good fortune, the source of ecstasy, I bow to you. That's Sanatana Goswami.
That is
and
nectar.
We're up to 110:27. Aho bata svayashishas tiraskari. Aho
bhata
svayashasastiraskari kushashtali punya yashaskari bhuva
kushashtali punya yashaskari
bhuva pashyanti nityam yaranugraheshitam
pashyanti nityam yaranugraheshitam
smitavalokam sapatim Smayat Praja.
Mita
Balokam Swapatim Smayat Praja.
Aho Batasva Yashashastraskari.
Aho Batasva Yashashastraskari.
Kushasthali Panya Yashaskari Bhuva. Pashyanti nityam yadanugraheshitam.
Pashyanti nityam yadanugraheshitam.
Smitavalokam sapatim smayat praja.
Smitavalokam swapatim smayat praja.
So, someone else can chant.
Aho Batasvar Yashasastiraskari.
Aho Batasvar Yashasastiraskari.
Kushastalipunya Yashaskari Bhuva.
Kushastalipunya Yashaskari Bhuva.
Pashanti Yadnitya. Pashanti Nityam Yaranu Graheshitam.
Pashanti Nityam Yaranu Graheshitam.
Smetavalokam Svapatim Smayat Praja.
Smetavalokam Svapatim Smayat Praja. Aho bata swayasakshakari.
Kushas punya yasakari bhava.
Kushas tali punya yasakari bhava.
Pashanti nityam yadanugrahe shitam.
Pashanti nityam yadanugrahe shitam.
Smita
Balokam Svapatim Svayat Praja. Aho Bata Svayasasas Tiraskari.
Aho Bata Svayasasas
Tiraskari.
Kushas Tali Punya Yashaskari Bhuva.
Pashanti
Nityam Yad Anugraheshitam.
Pashanti Nityam Yad
Anugraheshitam.
Smita Valokam Svapatim Smayat Prajaha.
Smita
Valokam Svapatim Smayat Prajaha.
Aho Bhattasvaya Shashastira Kari. Aho Bhattasvaya Shashastira Kari. Kusha Stali
Punya
Yashaskari
Bhuva.
Kusha Stali Punya Yashaskari Bhuva.
Pashyanti Nityam Yadanugraheshitam.
Pashyanti Nityam Yad Anugraheshitam.
Smita Valokam Svapatim Smayat Praja.
Smita Valokam Svapatim Smayat Praja.
All right. Aho Bata, how wonderful this is.
Aho Bata, how wonderful this is.
Sayashasha, the glories of the heavenly planets.
Sayashasha, the glories of the heavenly planets.
Tiraskari, that which defeats.
Tiraskari,
that which defeats.
Kushashtali, Dvaraka.
Kushashtali, Dvaraka.
Punya, virtue.
Punya, virtue.
Yashaskari, famous.
Yashaskari, famous.
Bhuva, the planet Earth.
Bhuva, the planet Earth.
Pashyanti, see.
Pashyanti, see.
Nityam, constantly.
Nityam,
constantly.
Yat, that which.
Yat,
that which.
Anugraheshitam.
Anugraheshitam.
To bestow benediction.
To bestow benediction.
Smita Avalokanam.
Smita Avalokanam.
Glance with the favor of sweet smiling.
Glance with the favor of sweet smiling.
Svapatim.
Svapatim.
Unto the soul of the living being, Krishna.
Unto the soul of the living being. Krishna.
Sma used to. Yat Praja, the inhabitants of the place.
Yat Praja, the inhabitants of the place.
If I could just interrupt for a moment. First of all, I want to again welcome everybody today. We're graced by Pushkar Prabhu, who's kindly agreed to give class. Anybody that came in late, we're on Canto 1, Chapter 10, Verse 27. And everyone could please mute at this time. Pushkar, just give me 1 second here, and then you can continue while I'm switching over.
undoubtedly is wonderful that Dvarka has defeated the glories of the heavenly planets and has enhanced the celebrity of the earth. The inhabitants of Dvarka are always seeing the soul of all living beings, Krishna, and his loving feature. He glances at them and favors them with sweet smiles. Purport. The heavenly planets are inhabited by demigods like Indra, Chandra, Varuna, and Vayu, and the pious souls reach there after the performance of many virtuous acts on Earth. Modern scientists agree that the timing arrangement in higher planetary systems is different from that of the Earth. Thus, it is understood from revealed scriptures that the duration of life there is 10,000 years by our calculation. 6 months on Earth equal to 1 day on the heavenly planets. Facilities of enjoyment are also similarly enhanced, and the beauty of the inhabitants is legendary. Common men on the Earth are very much fond of reaching the heavenly planets because they have heard the comforts of life are far greater than on Earth. They are now trying to reach the moon by spacecraft. Considering all this, the heavenly planets are more celebrated than the Earth. But the celebrity of Earth has defeated that of the heavenly planets because Dvarka, where Lord Krishna reigned as king. Three places, namely Vrindavan, Mathura, and Dvarka, are more important than the famous planets within the universe. These places are perpetually sanctified because whenever the Lord descends on Earth, he displays his transcendental activities, particularly in these three places. They are perpetually the holy lands of the Lord, and the inhabitants still take advantage of the holy places, even though the Lord is now out of sight, out of their sight. The Lord is the soul of all living beings, and he desires always to have all living beings in their swaroop, in their constitutional position, to participate in transcendental life in his association. His attractive features and sweet smiles go deep into the heart of everyone. And once it is so done, the living being is admitted into the kingdom of God from which no one returns. This is confirmed in Bhagavad Gita. The heavenly planets may be very famous for offering better facility of material enjoyment, but as we learned from Bhagavad Gita 9.20.21, one has to come back again to the earth planet as soon as the acquired virtue is finished. Dvarka is certainly more important than the heavenly planets, because whoever has been favored with the smiling glance of the Lord shall never come back again to the rotten earth, which is certified by the Lord himself as a place of misery. Not only the earth, but also all the planets of the universes are places of misery, because in none of these planets within the universe is there eternal life, eternal bliss, and eternal knowledge. Any person engaged in the devotional service of the Lord is recommended to live in one of the above-mentioned three places, namely Dvarka, Mathura, or Vrindavan. Because devotional service in these three places is magnified, those who go there to follow the principles and terms of instructions imparted in revealed scriptures surely achieve the same result as obtained during the presence of Lord Sri Krishna. His abode and he himself are identical, and a pure devotee under the guidance of another experienced devotee can obtain all the results even at present. Om Gyana Tamarandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manabhishtam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Gadatmayam Dadati Sabadantikam Bancha Kalpataru Bhyaschaki Pasindu Bhyavacha Patitanam Pavane Bhyo Vaishnave Bhyo Namo Namaha Adadanas Dantari Damyachi Purnapana Shrimad Rupa Padamboja Dulisham Janma Janmani Ananda Lila Maya Vigrahaya Himabati Bhicha Visundaya Tasmai Mahapremana Sarpadaya Chaitanya Tandraya Namo Namaste Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nitananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Sivasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ram Hare Ram 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 Hare Hare Aho Bhakta Swayashasas Taraskari Kushastali punya shaskari bhava pasyanti nityam yaranu graheshitam smitavalokam sapatim smayat praja. Undoubtedly, it is wonderful that Dvarka has defeated the glories of the heavenly planets and enhanced the celebrity of the earth. The inhabitants of Dvarka are always seeing the soul of all living beings, Krishna, in his loving feature. He glances at them and favors them with sweet smile. So, here the utterances of these ladies in Mathura, and they're talking all about Dwarka. And there's several themes throughout this purport, and of course the verse itself says about, is making this big point that the defeat of the glories of the heavenly planets. So heavenly planets means that in Vedas, many people are aiming, in previous times they aimed for this, Tetam Bhukta Svargalokam Vishalam. And as it's mentioned in the purport, they will fall down. Of course, nowadays people have some vague idea of heaven. I mean, all these various religions, they're going for some heavenly idea, vague, but in Vedas specifically given, more specifically, what is there in the heavenly planets and who is there. But in other religions, it might be more vague, Christian religion, just some idea of a cloudy place, and there's some people playing harps, or sometimes some of the various sects, they propound the idea that even you die, that if you join their sect, your body will be resurrected and you will go to heaven. And that heaven is shown on their tract. They give out a small tract, or sometimes a larger tract. And then and there you'll have your little dog and various other sundry conveniences. I don't know about refrigerators and all that. Of course, sometimes when we ask them, but okay, so if we go there, they come to my door sometimes and they show that this is heaven. So their idea is kind of strange, because the little boy who's there is your little boy, and he goes there. But then what if he grows up and has, if you ask them, I've asked them, if he grows up, he has a family. So how does he go? I mean, is he the man? Is he the boy? If he grow up, which body would he get resurrected at? So this kind of you can't figure that one out. But so anyway, they have an idea of some heavenly place, and others have a different idea, that if you basically you'll go and get 72 some odd virgins, or depending, you know, how many people you kill on this planet, you'll also get heaven. That's a kind of strange ideas. But at least in Vedas, it's given the different lokas, varshas. You know, the arrangements are there and explain what you'll get. And we find that if you open the fifth canon, especially, and there's several other places, that even the residents in higher planets, various residents of Jambudweep and various varshas, they're exclaiming also the glories of the earth, that Sangyasya Haran, that Ahoam Isham Kim. Kari Shobanam, the devas, it says, the devas Uchu, that they sing these shlokas. Right now, I'm thinking of one where it says, Janmalabdar. It says that we prefer, it says, Kshanayusham. We prefer a kshana, a tiny fragment of a second on Janma, in Janma Bhumi, on the earth as we know it here, rather than a kalpayusham. Kalpayusham means a kalpa, live a long, long time in the heavenly planets. It always reminds me that of an instance. I don't know if I mentioned it, but we were taking a tour, a very kind of a nice tour, but it was only 2 weeks. In 1984, and we're on the train going from, I was with Gaur Keshava, who is the ultimate tour guide, if anybody ever can link up with him. I was with Radhanath Maharaj, and the three of us were going on the train from, I think, Padmanabha temple place in South India, heading toward Guruvayur, just up through the beautiful Kerala. And I was just looking out the window at the scenery, because it was really amazing. And there was banyan trees and coconut trees and rivers flowing down toward the ocean. And so Radhanath Maharaj, I was holding this one volume Bhagavatam, and he got on my case and said, read the Bhagavatam, why are you looking out at this out the window. So, I mean, the one volume Bhagavatam's got like, I don't know how many pages in it, at least 1,000 or 1,200 thin little pages. So I just flipped it open. I came right to the shlokas in the fifth canto where the demigods were praying Sanyasabhayam Padam Hare. You know, they're praying to take birth on the earth planet. So, because on the earth planet, one gets a facility to give up attachment, sannyasa, and become fearless, Padam Hare, and take full shelter of the lotus feet of Lord Hari. So we all laughed our heads off because it was so completely ironic that, you know, looking out the window. So I said, well, I guess I'm allowed to look out the window because this is the place. Everyone just cracked up because it was just Krishna saying something. We didn't exactly know what, but it was amazing. And so that these verses are expressing and throughout, you know, Nayam Shriango Nitantarate Prashada, there's a verse in the 10th canto where it described that the gopis, they got the what the heavenly ladies can never get, the embrace, what to speak of ordinary women in the planet Earth, they could never get the embrace of Krishna. But here we're talking about Dwarka, and Prabhupada mentions the Dhams. We know that in Krishna Loka there is also Dwarka, and there is also, so these are the Boma Dwarka, the Boma Mathura, the Boma Vrindavan, which are, according to one's realization, non-different from these places in Krishna Loka. Of course, Vrindavan is the ultimate, but here we're talking about Dwarka. But then again, Dwarka is there to enhance the glories of Vrindavan also. When Rupa Goswami was writing his plays, his wonderful plays, which Ramananda Roy called the... they're not plays at all, but they're incredible poetry, pure nectarine poetry, which is the essence of all ultimate realizations. And so he was going to write one play under one title, but then he came to a town called Satyabhamapur where he had a dream of Satyabhama, and she said, no, I want my own play like that. Actually, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also agreed that he should have a separate play, one for Vrindavan and one for Mathura Dwarka like that. So he composed the two plays, Lalita Madhava, Vidugdha Madhava. And the Vidugdha Madhava is a very clever Krishna in Vrindavan, which I have to admit I haven't read much of, but I want to. There's so many books we should all read if we have time to read. I mean, you want to read it after you read. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was so pleased with these books. And but then he also composed, I don't know which one came first, the Lalita Madhava and the Vidugdha Madhava. Lalita Madhava is where he's more submissive in under the somehow or other, and he's also a hero, but he's Madhava in each place. So it's explained, it's understood and explained by Rupa Goswami. Really, he's Madhava always, and the various personalities that inhabit Dwarka, their expansions really of the persons that are in Vrindavan, like Rukmini, and she's actually an expansion of Chandravali, not even ultimately all expansion of Radhika, but she is specifically in a very subtle way, there's an understanding. And of course we know, like in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes, Jagadananda, he also reflects this mood of Satyabhama, and he's always very contrary, argumentative. In fact, his name is Kundali. Kundali means argumentative, Kundali, Jaga. And he's always having this relation with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, wherein, just like he has all the sandalwood oil on him, he brings it, you know, to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He's telling Govinda, you have to massage this on the Lord's head, and he's big barrel, a big thing of it. And when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu instructed that, no, I don't want the oil. If people smell me full of sandalwood, they're going to think I am, you know, some ladies' man. Forget it. Just bring it to the temple, and it will serve Jagannath, and he'll get so much benefit, Jagadananda, just by doing that. Jagadananda was very angry, you know, and he smashed the whole jar right in front of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and right in the ground, and went into his room and just didn't come out, sulked for 3 or 4 days. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came there and wanted him to cook for him, because he said, in this mood, this fiery mood, his cooking was sweeter. So these are very intimate things. Sometimes Chaitanya Mahaprabhu referred to him as a new man, because he thought that he overstepped by instructing Sanatana Goswami. Actually, he was not a new man. He had childhood pastimes with Lord Chaitanya that we know about. Anyway, these are all little wonderful things, and these are different moods that they all emanate from Krishna, either directly, indirectly, and sometimes we can trace them out. Sometimes we don't understand them, but it's just a matter of hearing them over and over. And they're always nectarine. So one thing very nice here is also smita avalokam sapatim smayat praja. The smita loka, you hear about that a lot, the wonderful glance that Krishna has. He glances at them and favors them. Anugrahena, anugrahena. This is a word that's often used also. Janashya Krishnad, vimukena daivad. That in the third canon of the verse, I just thought of it, where I think it's like 3, 5, or 6, that those who have turned their face away from Krishna, Janashya Krishnad, vimukha, vimukha means they've turned their face away. It says, and they're also full of adharma, that the great souls, they out of the same word is used, anugrahan, out of great compassion. It says here to bestow benediction, anugrahena. They go, they traverse the planet, just to reclaim them in this same move, because they've taken the glance, just like when. We know people would get the glance of Prabhupada. We get the glance of Prabhupada, what to speak of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, then you want people to be glanced, to get that glance also. Yat karunya kataksha vaibhavatam tam goram evastama. The one verse, that famous verse by Prabhupada Saraswati, where he says, kaivalyam narakayate tridashapura. He doesn't care what to speak of tridashapura, means where all the demigods are. At all, has no regard for it. He describes them as kaivalya narakai tridesha pura kasha pushpayate dordan dendri kalasat patali. He says they're patali kita, they're tiny little insects. Well, if you're Prabodhananda Saraswati, where he's tongue of Vijayagopa, you can make these kind of rash transcendental statements, but we can quote them anyway. That therefore he says, what does he care? He in fact, he does in his Chaitanya Chandramrita, he says in the beginning that what did the earth ever get when the Shringa appeared? And he mentions all the even incarnations of Krishna. Excuse me, let me hang this up. Okay, he mentions all the various incarnations like that. But he says what we're really after is yet karunya, the merciful, in the same mood, the mood of this merciful glance of Krishna. Smita loka shokam. In fact, the Rupa Goswami has one verse which is very wonderful verse describing smita loka shokam harati jagatam yasya parito, wherein he says that the glance of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is so wonderful that, as a matter of fact, I have it up on my screen here. It says here that this glance, Jagatam Yasya Parito, Shoka, it takes away all the misery of this Jagat, the entire universe, and enlivens the creepers of devotion of every living entity. What to speak of devotees. When devotees would get the glance, when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had been out of the section of Navadvip for almost nearly about 5 years, and he came back through, and he came to Vijayavachaspati's house and several other places, and the people in Navadvip were so... his fame had spread. They realized, of course, he was already famous when he left there, but then when he took sannyas, he was living in Puri, they felt so much separation. People were going across the Ganga and trying to catch boats just to get the glance. The boats were being overflooded and sinking, and lots of people were just grabbing anything they could, swimming across the river, kicking, holding logs and big giant like clay pots, whatever they could, any way to get across the Ganga just to see Chaitanya when they're walking through the jungle. So many people were going through the jungle to Vajraspati's house. In those days, there was a lot of jungle. They would just create paths everywhere. In fact, when they got to his house, they knocked down the boundary wall around his house. People were climbing trees. They were going on rooftops just to get a glance of the Lord. And they heard that he was in the house. And Vajraspati said, Lord, that people are outside crying and screaming and chanting. What are you going to do? You know, you can't hide. You're like the sun. It's like, how can you hide here? So finally, hearing all the people chanting, Hari, 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 Hari Bo, Hare Krishna, like that, he came like on the roof of Vajraspati's house so people could just get his glance on him, exchange glances. And we know the potency of such glance from personally, like people would see Prabhupada. I mean, not maybe we could say, well, that's not Lord Chaitanya, but at least we get an idea that when Prabhupada would glance at you, you would, all your bereavement, false ego, smaya, it's called, the false ego, the idea of any pride would vanish. You wouldn't have any idea that, you know. So when people would get the glance of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, just like when he was dancing in Ramkeli when he came to see Rupa and Sanatan, the people would, the Muslim king was astounded. He said, I have to pay people. If I don't pay them for a few weeks, they'll just walk out of here. They won't do anything. I have to pay everybody to do everything. But when Mahaprabhu came there, he could understand that without any payment, these people are giving up their occupations and just to get the glance of Mahaprabhu. Kripabalokana koro ami baro duki. You know, Narad Tam Das has the song. Haha Prabhu Nityananda. Nityananda Hall also has that merciful glance. This is what we're all after, the merciful glance of Krishna. When we come and see the deity, we're hoping to see that glance of Krishna. And Pashyanti me rucharanyam bashanta. Pashyanti, the word is here also used, to see. Pashyanti nityam. Nityam mahotsavam. I think we heard that verse before. Nityotsavam. To see Krishna is always a constant festival. It's not that we're simply seeing, but the gopis are also praying that they want the glance of Krishna. I know there was a verse, there is a verse in the 10th canto years ago when we first joined. I don't know about anyone else, but I was told this is a verse, as soon as you wake up, you should chant. Prabhupada recommended to chant Jayate Janani Vaso Devaka Janmavado. It's in 10th canto also, describing Krishna, that Janani Vaso Devaka Janmavado. Finally, it says, Yaru Bara Parishat Svaj Birasyana Dharmam Stira Chadra Vijanagna Susmita. Susmita Shimukena, the same ideas as Susmita Shumukena, that when he glances on anyone throughout the universe, specifically says the gopis, they give up all, whatever, anything left, any kind of material desire. Of course, they're also Geham Jusham. They also think that they're stuck in the material world. Geham Jusham, they spoke this verse in Kurukshetra. The gopis felt very bad that they couldn't get Krishna to come back to Vrindavan. They were so close. Actually, it's described that to be this Bhakti Sananta Saraswati, following in the footsteps of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he said that residents in Vrindavan is for small-minded people. And all the sannyasis and devotees, when Bhakti Sananta made this utterance, were so shocked that how could that be, that being in Vrindavan, everybody wants to live in Vrindavan. The whole idea is to stay in Vrindavan, still go to Radhakund. But Bhaktivinoda said, no. Actually, the best, he said he wants, Bhaktivinoda Thakur also said he wants to build a little kutir in Brahmandakund, the place there in Kurukshetra, because this is the things become so intense that the gopis come there. So what they're stressing is this idea of separation, because it's dangerous actually in our position to simply meditate on sambhog, all the different intimate pastimes of Krishna, but Chaitanya was recommended that we think, and he's given this mood of separation, ha, Krishna Prananatha, he's always in separation. This was, he's showing separation, Radharani's mood of separation, which is very legitimate. And it's far less dangerous because we have to be very cautious because there's so many intimate pastimes that are described between Radha and Krishna. I mean, I looked, I peeked a few weeks ago into like the Brahma Vaivarta Purana. Is very, very intimate stuff, and you know, I was wondering about it because you know what we see is we get like the fourth canto, which is just all about Krishna's pastimes. But there's three other cantos. One is about Ganesh, Shiva, Durga, or there's three other cantos. But the one about Krishna, we only, I mean, have a few Kushikrata translated about 12, 13 chapters. But the other chapters are so intimate, it's amazing. And when you read it, it just seems very, very too much to read at this point, you know. But it's all, it's there. But it's we're cautioned at every step to remain dasa, 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 you know. And so this is easily done because we can simply get to this point of separation. And the example sometimes given, if you're playing soccer or something, and I've heard this said, it was a good comparison. You kick the ball, and it just comes so close to the goal, but it's, again, kicked back or something. So this is like Krishna is in Kurukshetra, and Radharani is in this mood of lamenting. You're the same Priya Soyam Krishna Sahachari. You know, finally she gets to the punch of it. You say, I want to be back in Vrindavan near the Jamuna, and where you're playing the flute, the fifth note of the flute. Like that, you're here, you're a king. So this is not the mood, but this is kind of the similar mood of Dwarka. And so we understand Dwarka, and we understand all the intricacies and subtleties of the bhav, the feelings of the various residences, and Uddhava, and Satyaki, and Balaram, the interchange. So here in this purport also, several other things are mentioned. How the Prabhupada stresses again at the end of this purport, his abode and himself are identical, and a pure devotee under the guidance of another, when experienced devotee, can obtain all the results even at present. So I remember being a new devotee, and we heard, oh, if you go to India, Prabhupada said, you'll get 100 times the benefit. He wanted people to go to Vrindavan and Mayapur and do seva there. So he probably said like that, but it's true. These benedictions are given in all the shastras. They're either the fruits of going to the Dham, that if you do so much service, but unfortunately many times people get bewildered. They go to the Dham and they end up doing some sense gratification. Even when Jagadananda, Sanatan, Sanatan was cautioned also, but when Jagadananda was going to Vrindavan, he was told, don't stay very long by Lord Chaitanya, you know, like that. Don't stay more than a few days because then you'll get familiarity breeds contempt, like that. But maybe he wanted Jagadananda to come back to Navadvipa. But so it is said it's very easy to make also offenses. Therefore, Navadvipa Dham, it's a little much harder to make offenses, but also Prabhupada said they're also overrun by demons in the Dhams. There's so many rascals come. In Vrindavan now, demons come and they take cows out of Vrindavan, or they slaughter them in Mathura, or they try to bring them to Delhi. So there's demons there. They're ready to rip you off or shoot, rape, plunder. These things are going on. It's not. You have to be careful, but it's still the Dham. Even when some of the women in 1970 were in Vrindavan for the first time, 70, 71, and they came to Radha Damodar temple early in the morning from Mangal Arti, from some distance where they were staying. And Prabhupada was surprised. He said, oh, you have come now in the dark? He said, they'll kill you for a lota in this quarter. This quarter, I mean, this is Vrindavan. What, you know, Prabhupada used to use this term, this quarter. He said, like, you have to be careful. One should always be careful. In the Dham. So in the same way, so many things may ensue in the Dham. Although it's the spiritual world, And, of course, any temple, Prabhupada says in the seventh canto, where Krishna consciousness is non-different. So that's why Prabhupada came out from the Dham. He drew people to the Dham in his way. He made the fame. He glorified Vrindavan by bringing so many people there. But now, again, so many people are coming that we don't know if they're going there to become devotees. They're just going there to do business. But Prabhupada said, if you go to the Dham, you may go to the Dham, but if you arrange for a Bishaya Bhog just to enjoy, he said, you're far from the Dham. Just like Srila Bhakti Sanat said, you cannot buy a ticket to Vrindavan or Mayapur or any of these places. You cannot buy a ticket. And Gaur assured us, Babaji, when he would hear of people buying places, and he would say, you cannot buy one speck of dust of the Dham. See, this is the actual realization of the Dham. Even he was losing his eyesight, and Srila Bhakti Siddhanta and Srila Bhakti Vinod, they wanted to bring him to Calcutta to a special doctor, and he refused to ever leave Navadvip Dham. He just wanted to roll in the dust. He would just soak some rice and dal and eat it kind of raw, soaked out of a skull sometimes, or an old pot, and take clothes from the queen, from the bodies that were burned. So this is the pure mood of Vairagya, Rasambodhe. He's experiencing the ocean of separation from Krishna. He doesn't care at all. Gorkshudas Babaji, you know, these, like Jagannath Das Babaji also. Gorkshudas, these persons are so elevated, they have no concept of my body. I have to cure my eyesight. They don't care at all for these things. Don't want to leave the Dham for any reason. But, and Prabhupada even said that Gorkshudas Babaji, he thought he had no power to save anybody. No power. He said, I have no power to save these rascals. There's so many rascals. I cannot let them all go to hell. So, of course, that doesn't sound so compassionate. But on the other hand, he could attract Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. Of course, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati was instructed by Bhakti Vinod. His real guru and father is Bhakti Vinod Thakur. But as a formality, he got initiated also by Gaur Kishore Das Babaji. But persons like Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati don't require, I think, to show the example, just as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's example, they take initiation. So there's no one qualified except Gaur Kishore Das Babaji. So he took it. Of course, some people don't accept that he even took it because it wasn't very ritualistic. He just kind of, you know, gave him a tiger cap or something and some beads and said, okay, you know, like that. But that's his style. And so this is the style of the Paramahansas. And so there's so many glories of the Dham, but if one goes to enjoy simply Yayatamam Prabhajante, when Prabhupada was lecturing on a verse, Naisham Paravaramatir Bhavato Nandusa, I don't know which verse, one of Prahlad's prayers, that if one goes to Vrindavan, he was speaking in Vrindavan, to just arrange for sense gratification, he's not, he'll go there. Some wealthy people go, and they nowadays is even more pronounced and acute. They're building big, trying to build a high rise. They're building very palatial places. Of course, there's barbed wire. You got to keep out the monkeys. Got to keep out the crooks. It's always trying to get you. So, and if you go there and you have so much money or money sent to you, and you're not giving to Krishna, then Krishna sees, oh, you're only giving 1% of your money, then Krishna is only 1% for you. You know, that's all. You'll get 1% Krishna consciousness. Of course, some people only go there to enjoy. They have no idea. There's a golf course now being built or built, I think, near Govardhan. So it's absurd. These are the anomalies in Kali Yuga. Difficult to understand. But still, the Dham is there. Sometimes it's covered over by Yoga Maya or covered over by the Maya, actually. And when Prabhupada first went to Mayapur and he was just leaving, Kirtananda was there and he told me that Prabhupada said, Mayapur is Mayapur. In other words, there's lots of people doing Mayic activities. I know Jayapataka Maharaj, when he was learning Bengali, of course he was there in the early days, he had to learn Bengali, sink or swim, because she was just there. I mean, it was only a Chutananda or practically nobody. And gradually he learned Bengali. He could hear all the people talking. And even though there were Dambasis, he was always constantly amazed. They were talking so much Prajapal nonsense, just Gramyakata, yeah, this nonsense, that nonsense about this. So these things are going on, but still, we go there because it is still the abode of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the abode of Krishna. And depending on one's consciousness, he can perceive it and get the benefit from being there. But one has to be wary always of Maya's influence. Even there, we see so many people nowadays riding little motorcycles, even in our Mayapur temple, just speeding around. You won't find them in a kirtan or chanting japa, but they're just zipping around, nearly running people over, much to the amazement and chagrin of some of the other devotees. Things are going on. The dogs are there. Of course, the dogs getting benefit probably didn't want the dogs on our property either. But there's some sentimental idea that, oh, these dogs, you know, we shouldn't hit them or get rid of them. But it wasn't Prabhupada's idea. It probably wasn't sentimental like that. I mean, I was on a walk when he said, these dogs shouldn't be here. Dogs shouldn't be there. He didn't want people walking on property who didn't belong there. You know, people just can do anything they want. No, it's not free-for-all like that. Prabhupada was trying to make a worldwide, out of compassion, as it says here, anugrahena, out of special mercy, and his glancing on everyone with that glance, the favor of sweet smiling smita loka shokam harati jagatam yasya parito smita loka shokam. All the shoka, the material world, disappears when one gets the glance of Chaitanya Prabhu. So therefore we have always encouraged to go to the temple or have a deity in our house, and the more we decorate the deity, it is just like the mirror of the heart being cleansed. You decorate the deity, then your heart is cleansed, and you can see Krishna. You get the glance of Krishna. It's a direct, just like our pujaris in Alachua or anywhere, Vrindavan, Mayapur, they so much endeavor there to decorate the deity. Why is it? What does that do? Well, and Krishna is pleased, but he looks so beautifully. He glances back at the devotees with his wonderful glance. But one doesn't get that same mood if the deity is standing there neglected in a temple. There's no such, the mood will may not be there. So in proportion to one's service to the deity, to Krishna somehow or other, whether he's directly doing deity worship or some other way, like going out and chanting, if one chants beautifully, people are enlivened, even the karmis. They're enlivened, they're stunned, they can't do anything. All material activity ceases. We see that sometimes the Harinam is so powerful, and Jagannath is glancing with his big eyes. It's described in Jagannath Astakam. He has got those big eyes, and with Balaram and Subhadra, and they're glancing over everyone, taking in everything with the big eyes. That's why they have such big eyes, for glancing and taking in everybody, and everyone can see their glance, their eye. So this is the reciprocal relationship between the bhaktas and Krishna, and it's something that we have to continue to aspire for. Okay, if there's anything to be added, I'm sure there's tons to be added here, because I didn't say too much.
All right, I've unmuted everyone on free conferencing. If there's any questions or comments, please go ahead. Otherwise, remain unmuted.
Yes. Pushkar Prabhu.
Uh-huh.
Vidugdha Madhava. The troublemaker. Here, I see some something, it's just in passing, Prabhupada's mentioning they are now trying to reach the moon by spacecraft. I mean, it just shows up in the purport. And over the years, I've heard devotees, you know, really latch on to that thing where Prabhupada says they didn't go to the moon. And but the references that I see when I see these old recordings from New York, some of the classes, or I run into this in the recordings, it seems like Prabhupada's point is they don't understand, you know, they didn't go to Chandraloka. You know, there's no staircase to heaven, like Ravana tried to build a staircase to heaven. So I thought that was Prabhupada's mood rather than, I mean, he did doubt that they went. I'm not saying he didn't do that. But,
well, I mean, it's pretty interesting that after 50, what is it, some odd years that they first went, they haven't gone back. I mean, you know, you think like if you went once, you could go again, right? Kind of weird. I mean, I have this weird. I mean, just as a New York guy who's a cynic, just think like all the. You ever watch them when they blast off of Cape Canaveral or anything? It's huge rocket blast with incredible, ferocious power. Then you wonder, how do they blast off if they went there? How did they get back? I mean, I know the gravity is supposed to be less, but I mean. Don't people ask that? I mean, it's like, it seems like a no-brainer. I mean, if it required a whole big system with it, like 60-story tall towers to blast off the Earth, then how do they get back so easy? They just float down or something? I mean,
so the gravity of the Earth or something. If they can jump, right?
I mean, I don't know. I mean, I'm not a scientist, so I don't really get into that too much because. But even there are some scientists who really doubt that they went, isn't it?
I would think it was the Cold War time and the Russians. They never went to the moon, the Russians. So
no, they,
yeah, I would think they would have called it, you know, if they, the scientists in Russia had some, you know.
Right. Oh, that's true. But I don't really get into this kind of thing because Prabhupada sometimes said, and you can find it, you know, sometimes, like you said, they latch on to this. But Prabhupada says, even if they went, they couldn't perceive what was going on. They might have gone somewhere else. Maybe they did go somewhere, but, you know, he said. But he does sometimes say, even there's several places where he'll say,
right.
Even if they went, that they couldn't stay there. And he said, a devotee that wouldn't want to go there, even if it's Chandraloka or whatever, just not even to pass urine there, what will you get? He said, if it's Chandraloka or if it's just a chunk, you won't get anything either way. And if you can't stay there, then why are they going? Wasting money is just crazy. It's a waste of time. You know, they can't even – this whole planet's being destroyed. They're spending money to go to somewhere. What are they going to do in Mars? They want to destroy this planet. They want to destroy everything. They want to get their whole motivation is just military.
Right.
They just want to go there and lord it over, just like they're doing here in every spot, every second of the day.
You know,
they're just loading it, exploiting.
I heard.
Exploit on the, yeah. Yeah.
I was in Washington, D.C., painting some deities for Rupanuga, and Harikesh and Bhagavan were having a conversation. Harikesh, at some point in the conversation, he goes that, you know, he had some sanction from Prabhupada to edit Fifth Canto Bhagavatam or something. And so, you know, he's going round and round about this, the Earth, the sun being closer than the moon. So he goes to Prabhupada. He's telling this to Bhagavan. He goes to Prabhupada and he says, you know, Prabhupada, no matter how I look at this, you know, the sun is farther away than the moon. And then Prabhupada, said, that may be so, but I'll say any damn thing to prove them wrong.
That's Prabhupada right there. I believe that because, I mean, all of a sudden, I mean, come on, Prabhupada's so intelligent. He suddenly starts, you know, one day he starts saying that, you know, because Sunday is the first day, therefore the sun, you know, must be closer. Because, of, I mean, come on, what scientist is going to buy into that, you know? But just to get their goat and make them, yeah, I mean, a lot of it was just for preaching to get their attention, you know, to blow their minds. It's true. Probably shock them and say something. Oh, women have 30, according to some teacher that he had in the, you know, turn of the century, that women's brains are only 34 ounces or whatever. I mean, but that, you know, probably doesn't think that people are just going to start converting over to that idea, and you know, or that the sun is closer or something. But it makes them think, you know, it blows their minds that, yeah, well, this is what Prabhupada thinks of their science. Even he took their measurement. He said, how far is the sun? 90 million? Okay, the moon's further. Okay, that sounds funny because if we don't accept the scientists, but we'll take their measurement of 90 million, that gives you an idea that Prabhupada is really being kind of flippant about the whole thing. And, you know, he's not, it doesn't disturb his faith or anything, reading anything in the fifth canto.
Right.
I mean, there's so many inconceivable things. What do we know? What can we perceive? Very little. I mean, there's so many planes, you know. even the scientists now, they come down to the string theory and different types of string theory and little vibrations. And then they start saying, well, actually, everything's energy, really. There's nothing. What we're looking at is illusion. Oh, yeah, duh. We've been telling you that for the last 100 trillion years, that it's all illusion. You just realized it? Yeah. So, you know, they look at a cell, and they look inside the cell, and there's atoms, and inside the atom there's little particles, and it becomes like nothing's there, really. What is there? There's nothing. It's an illusion. They're looking at the constituents of Maya. They're Sankhya. They're counting. Just like Prabhupada said, they could go to the side of a cliff and look at the different layers, like a geologist, and say, okay, this layer is there, this layer is there. It's Sankhya. They're counting. Oh, this is there, this is there, this is there. It's just Sankhya yoga. It doesn't get you anywhere. You're just counting the material elements over and over. So that's what they're doing, you know. But at least they come to some kind of idea that, wait a minute, this is an illusion. It's unlimited. What are we going to do, you know? So, but they can't go anywhere. It's like it says, it's a miserable place. You could spend your whole life just counting the miseries or the little particles, how tiny they get and turn into energy at some point, you know, but they can't even see it or perceive it, but they kind of have the idea. They can't literally get inside the atom and, you know, they have all these, I guess, super duper microscopes, but still it becomes nothing, tiny, tiny, nothing digits. And finally it's illusion. It's Maya. So Prabhupada would say, son, just to get people thinking, you know, Swamiji has said this, you know. The same thing else. What did he say now? What's that quote from Hare Krishna?
Prabhupada said, that may be so, but I'll say any damn thing to prove them wrong.
Right. There you go. That's it.
The scientists are the enemy. You know, the scientists are the modern day gurus. You know, they're the ones that are deviating people from theism. You know, even this Stephen Hawking, this guy that's confined to a wheelchair, who's, you know, capitalized, right? He's on the cover of Time magazine some years ago, and the caption is Master the Universe. Well, this clown shows up in mainstream, you know, news about a month ago. And he's going, science has proven that, you know, there's no need to believe in God. Afterlife, that's a joke. You know, that's just made up. That's something imaginary. But the end of it all, he really iced the cupcake and he goes, actually, science will win. So, you know, he's acknowledging there's some kind of struggle between, you know, theism and science.
Well, it's pretty amazing, and the guy's gone. Like, he's the longest. There's no one even comes close to living with that disease for that long. Like 45 years, he's had that, you know, Lou Gehrig's disease, and somehow, you know, he's just going on, you know, for 45 years with that disease. Amazing, yeah. 45 plus years. So he probably figures, you know, he's going to go forever, but he's going to be gone. You know, he'll be gone any day. You know, practically.
Right.
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna.
Yeah.
I just want to say I felt very encouraged and enlivened by what you're saying about the Holy Dham, that, you know, it's still there, you know, based on one's consciousness, because I haven't been to India since 1980, and it's just been sounding more and more discouraging, you know, with all that's going on there and movies and, oh, you know, so much material contamination covering it up. And so, you know, I just feel like a lot more encouraged by, you know, what you were saying, that, you know, it's still there, you know, but it's all still based on your consciousness.
Well, every single inch is not, you know, totally covered, but downtown Vrindavan is pretty busy. And, you know, but you can go to Navadvip, you can go outskirts of Vrindavan, there's still places to go. But I mean, they're actually, a lot of the Babaji's, and they have to organize, you know, and struggle to, you know, the government wants to make a tourist attraction, a building bridge here, this here and that there, and still pretty lawless. I mean, people, you know, demons are taking cows right up the street and getting them slaughtered. You know? And like Korma and people with Goshalas, they have to have armed guards all the time against these demons taking the cows.
Wow.
stuff's going on. It's pretty horrific. You got to have always have all night have an armed guard, and they come and they try to steal cows. You have to blow them away or do something. You know, it's pretty bad. People are more and more desperate. I mean, as the population increases and there's less and less stuff, of course they're greedy demons, and that's the reason for suffering. But they don't get to put the dots together. But so you know, you have to be aware. Prabhupada had that one Sanskrit quote. It's upayan chachintayat, means it says, I'm trying to think of the Sanskrit again. My brain is atrophied at this point, but it says basically upayan chintayat pragya upayan sachintayat, means that an intelligent pragya means an intelligent man. He'll always see both sides of every situation. You go to Dom, oh, it's very nice, but you always have to be aware. Monkeys are going to grab your glasses. I mean, yeah, they are going to take them. There's not even a question. When you go downtown Vrindavan, if you don't have your glasses in you somewhere else, a lot of the local devotees who don't even wear glasses, they have their bead bags even hidden under their chadars. They could take your beads, they take your camera, they'll definitely take your glasses. So you're going there, you're going to Madan Mohan, you're going to Radharaman Temple, but you think, oh, this is great. I'm just thinking of Gopal Bhatta Goswami, how wonderful Rupa Goswami is, Raghunath Das. But bingo, next thing you have no glasses, you can't even see. So that's right, you're right, you know, anything can happen. You have to be aware. So you go out there and you're always Shastra Chakshus. You're thinking, yeah, well, Prabhupada said, even though you're going out, anytime there could be muggers, monkeys, something, you know, can happen. Rickshawala could take you to a bad place at night. You got to be careful. The cab drivers, you know, they have to be very aware all the time. It's not Goloka Vrindavan. Exactly. I mean, okay, if you don't have anything, they probably won't take anything from you. But even if you're a Babaji with glasses, I mean, I know Babajis who've been killed because they didn't want to surrender their little hut to the demons, to the Gundas. You know, that happens in Vrindavan. So I guess they don't mind. They're there and they die in the Dham. And then there's other people who are very greedy and they're shot or wounded and they're taken to a hospital outside the Dham. They die outside the Dham. That happens. So many things are going on. So, any other points?
No, but thank you, Prabhu, very much for a really nice class. Very terrifying.
Yeah, next time I'll try to be a little sharper. I don't know, my brain's a little dusty. No one else has a good comment? Something terrific?
Well, I don't want to ruin the party.
The party.
Did
well,
see in the purport, Prabhupada said, whoever has favored the smiling and been favored with the smiling glance of a lord shall never come back again to this rotten earth, which is certified by the Lord himself as a place of misery.
I guess that's the whole idea, right? Why, you're still thinking about the fall of the living entity and all that?
How do you adjust it?
Well, I'm not adjusting anything because Prabhupada just compared it to the crow and the tall tree, you know, that it's wasted time to think about it. I mean, ever since I joined, right, we heard that if you get shot, you don't always immediately think, well, how did I get shot? Let me see now. You know, you just want to get the bullet, the arrow out of your arm or your chest, you know, that's it. So, and you know, if the crow flies off the top of the tree and a fruit falls, do you speculate, well, did that crow fly off because the fruit scared it, or did the fruit fall? That's basically, you know, you're speculating. So the idea is that,
yeah, it's whether the crow knocked the fruit out of the tree or the fruit fell by itself.
Right.
That's the argument.
Well, whatever the argument is, it's basically a waste of time to argue it. I mean, I don't...
Not arguing.
I mean...
It's just very interesting.
I don't agree that the GBC made a dictum whereby they pronounce very strongly, headed by we know probably who we could find out, but since this is recorded, I'm not going to mention that, completely ignoring anything else. He just absolutely said, you know, because Prabhupada did make some statements that, you know, there's always a chance, but that chance means we have independence. Doesn't mean that you definitely, because Prabhupada said, I say it on, based on the Jai Vijay, but Jai Vijay came because of the Leela. Prabhupada said, I heard him on one tape where he said that Jai Vijay could only fall because they were at the gate. They weren't in Vaikuntha. Otherwise, they couldn't fall. Because they were at the gate, they could get cursed. And, but otherwise, if they were in the other side of the gate, then they couldn't even get cursed. So that's kind of a clever, cute statement, too. But yeah, it's like Yajgat Vana Navartante Tadam. It says it twice in Bhagavad Gita. It's once going, you never return. So it's not like you're constantly going and coming from the spiritual world. And then again, in the 11th canto, there's the whole pastime of the Hamsa avatar, where if you read it, it says, no, there's no question of liberated. We're always liberated. So you can study that. It's an interesting conversation between the four Kumaras and the Hamsa incarnation.
And then we had a conversation the other day after a class about, you know, one of the devotees mentioned that this world is designed in such a way that, you know, if you're spiritually conscious, you can be happy here. And I was having a problem with that. And, you know, and I quoted the Abrahma Bhuvanaloka verse. And then...
but what about the verse?
I noticed in Bhagavatam that Vishnu sometimes, you know, in the fourth canto and different places, he'll give benedictions. He gave it to Dhruva. He gave it to, you know, some other king, but, you know, and the Prachetas to live, you know, so many thousands of years, you know, by his mercy, you know, they'll be, I mean, basically he's turning earth into heaven. You know, he's giving them a really nice benediction. They can rule and for thousands and thousands of years and then, you know, go back to Godhead or something.
But, I mean, in Prabodhananda's same verse that I quoted, it says, Vishram Purna Shukayate, that, you know, when you get the glance that we're talking about in this verse, then Karunya Kataksha, then Vishram Purna Shukayate. You reject the demigods as being insect-like, and you reject impersonal liberation as hell, and the senses don't bother you, Dordan Dendriya Kalasar, because they're like snakes without teeth. And then Vishram Purna Shukayate. This universe becomes Purna Shukayate, full of pleasure, full of happiness. So there you have it. And Krishna's name, Vaikuntha Nama Grahanam, Ashesha Gamharam, he is also called Vaikuntha. And his name is not different. So you're associating with Krishna. So if you're associating with Krishna by chanting the name, you're in the spiritual world. You just haven't realized it.
Right. So then the question is, where does Leela begin? You know, I mean, someone here that's completely surrendered to the Lord, it's like he's in Leela, isn't it? I mean, he's seeing the Lord moment to moment. He's completely, you know, there's no separate interest. He's only, you know, working here as the pure, transparent.
Yep. Prabhupada was in the Bowery, back in the day, or walking in the area of the Bowery, and it was reported that, you know, there were bums here and there and stuff, and you know, liquor spilled, you know, the Bowery is, you know, and now they've cleaned it up a bit, but now those days it was pretty funky, and Prabhupada said, and it was like a cold winter day, and they're walking, a couple of devotees, and Prabhupada said, if you could see this the way I see it as Vaikuntha, you know, the Bowery.
Right. Yeah, I read that somewhere, yeah.
So, you know, according to your vision, yeah. Anyway, it might take a while before we get able to get to that point. But that's Prabhupada's vision. Or else how could he come to, you know, get on a boat? I mean, he had full faith that, yeah, wherever he goes, he sees Krishna.
So my question is, isn't that a type of Leela?
Yeah, it's a Leela. Of course it's a Leela. It says there that Konikana, what does it say? One, this is several verses, but it says that even today, Ajapiya, which of course was written after Lord Chaitanya, but not now, just after, but it meant any time. Anyone at any time can see that the Leelas of Chaitanya were going on now. Prabhupada said this ISKCON is part of the Leela of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. It's not ended. It's not ended. And so it says the Dham is going on now, and those Leelas are going on. One can see them at any time. If he has the transcendental vision, he's purified, then he'll see them. I mean, anyone can argue that, no, these are not the same, but this just seems, probably didn't say like that.
Yeah, in that connection, there's a special time of the year. I was around Srila Sridhar Maharaj for this, and where Mahaprabhu takes sannyas, and then he's wandering in the Radhadesh for the 3 days before they arrive at Dvaitacharya's house.
Right, he's going through the jungles, and they're trying to find him in the dark, and yeah.
So Srila Sridhar Maharaj, he doesn't see anybody during that 3 days. I mean, he goes into some deep mood over that. And it's like the whole mutt, it's affected by that mood. And then when he arrives for the big feast at Advaitacharya's house, suddenly on like the fourth day, there's a big feast at the mutt. It's like the complete opposite. You know, everybody's just ecstatic.
You were there when that happened?
Yeah.
Several times.
It happens every year.
Even now?
Not now. He's gone.
Yeah, but you know, it's 1988. You're still living it. He's been gone since 88, but you're still living it. Anyway, yeah, that's always there. I mean, it probably didn't display those types of things, but I'm sure he did. You know, it was a different mood. I mean, you know, Sridhar Maharaj said he was a backward pushing man. You know, and the Swamiji was always trying to drag him out. So they had that kind of rasa. You know, like. So Prabhupada said he is having very high realization, but you know, he is not sharing it with the world. So, but anyway, you guys went there and made him share it. So I think that's a good thing, actually. I mean, we don't want factionalism, but we have to, you know, give credit where credit is due. I mean, and you know, Prabhupada said no one else could write purports on the planet except Sridhar Maharaj for 10th canto or any of the Bhagavatam. So that, you know, people don't take the whole thing. Some problems were created due to immaturity or whatever. Those things are long gone, I guess, somehow.
Right.
But, yeah. That mood is there. Different people have different moods.
Yeah, I mean, Navadvip's Gupta Vrindavan also. It's, I just listened
right.
Thinking about that the other day. And how Mahaprabhu left Navadvip, just like Krishna left Vrindavan. Of course, he spent more time there, but he never, you know, he came back once, right? But
Mahaprabhu?
Yeah.
Yeah. He came back that time, that 5 years later or so, when everybody
right, you described the Leela in your talk.
A little of it, yeah, but I mean, it's pretty amazing when you read Chaitanya Bhagavat.
Mm-hmm.
People were, you know, they wanted to beat up Vachaspati. They said, where's Mahaprabhu? Where did he go? And then he didn't even know. And then some Brahmin came and said, no, now he's gone over to, I forgot where he went, Goridas Pandit, or he went somewhere else. You know, can't remember where he went.
Didn't he disappear?
He disappeared, sure, he totally disappeared.
And he appeared miles away somewhere else.
He appeared at, I forget where it was. Yeah, that's one good thing about being an idiot. You can't remember all those things. Anyone's welcome to say, unless they're not on here anymore.
No, we're all here.
Where he went, I don't remember, after Vachaspati's place. But
right,
Vachaspati had no idea, you know, and he went out on the balcony, everyone was, Chan, Hare Krishna, you know, just, I tried to do a painting like that, and I realized I did part of it wrong, because, you know, I didn't get the idea that it was a rooftop, but,
I thought he got on the roof. He didn't get on the roof?
Yeah, but I didn't paint the rooftop. I painted it like he's up on some steps. But maybe I need to do another one and call this a different pastime, but I didn't finish either of them.
Isn't the Brahmin afraid his house is going to get just stampeded or just completely destroyed?
Well, they'd already smashed the whole boundary wall, you know, brick wall to get in. I mean, we're talking like hundreds of thousands of people, you know. It's like, no, not a joke, you know. It's kind of, you know, wherever Mahaprabhu would go, then many times, of course, if he didn't want them to be there, they wouldn't be. But, you know, when he started off for Vrindavan, and there was hundreds of thousands, lakhs and lakhs of people. That's hundreds of thousands of people were following him to Vrindavan. Sanatana Goswami said, how can you go to Vrindavan with hundreds of thousands of people? And he
right.
just said, maybe that's not so good, you know. And they were all tearing up the earth, like wherever you'd walk, more people would come. It was like a snowball. They'd come out and like take pieces of the road out and like wrap it up wherever he touched it with his foot. I mean, that's something we missed, you know. But
yeah,
we have to keep thinking about
it. How can you maintain that many people on such a long journey on foot? I mean, you have to stop to eat. You know, how does that work?
I don't know. I heard that this Kartik that Radhanath Maharaj and Indradum and several big swamis are going to have, like, I don't know what why, but they're going to have, there's some commemoration or something, and they plan, they're going to have 25,000 people on Parikram.
Whoa.
This year in Vrindavan. I know some devotees that say, well, I'm definitely not going.
Yeah.
I'm definitely not going. Like, 25,000 people, you know, that's a lot of people going on a Parikram. Of course, they won't all go at the same time, same place, hopefully, but
yeah,
still,
I can't handle crowds, personally. I learned that the hard way this last visit. It was unbelievable, Gaurapurnima. I have to go at the off-season and go to these places in a quiet way. I mean, the crowds can't even fit in the temples. How do you get any, I don't know, how do you get a quality experience with thousands of people going to some place and you can't even get close?
No, I don't go either, but I don't go either. I never went on a big one like that, but I'm sorry. Maybe I missed something. I don't know. But I'm a little old now to do it even, but I don't think I can handle it either. Like, you know, if you go to the bathroom, you have to do this, you have to do that. There's a lot of people there, and you can't, you know, it's a really heavy duty, you know. I mean, personally, this is a weird thing. Krishna must have just, I don't know. I had a tape of Prabhupada going around Vrindavan. It's just an audio tape given to me by Vishnu Das in New Vrindavan in 1980 or so. And he, hey, Pushkar, listen to this tape. And it turned out that was the only copy. It was the only copy. And I gave it to someone and lost it, but I definitely heard it about 10 times, 15 times. And on the tape, I'm not going to give you every detail, but I'll definitely tell you the mood was Prabhupada is going into Vrindavan, and in the tape you hear Dinanath chanting in the back, and they go to Gokula for sure, they go to Radhakund for sure, and Varshana, those three places. And the whole 15, 20 minutes, or whatever long it was, tape, at least 8 or 10 times, Prabhupada said, I never go to these places, simply botheration. I mean, I absolutely swear, Prabhupada said that. Because they kept hitting him up for money, all the pandas, you know.
Right.
And he said, and he was yelling at these guys, give them 5 rupees, jow! And he was screaming at it. He was so angry at the pandas, you know. And he said, I never go to these places. It's simply rascals here, you know. Like, he was so mad at them.
Right.
They're spoiling the whole mood of the Dom, you know. That's one aspect of it.
Right.
But anyway, I heard that. And maybe Krishna arranged it that I would be one of the few people to hear that, and then that tape would disappear. So I would have a rationale for not going. So, but I heard it, and I think it's from 72 or anyway. It was there. I heard it. I had the tape. It's gone, and that's the breaks. But I mean, Prabhupada said in our temple, it was, you didn't no need to go anywhere. Several times he said that Radha-Damodar temple and our temple were the holiest places in Vrindavan, you know.
Right.
That's there. You can hear tapes where Prabhupada will say that if you come to Vrindavan and you take a little dust, it's just like kissing the feet of Krishna. And then there's one tape, I couldn't find it, but it's definitely there. You can hear it. And he says, every brick in this temple, he's in the Vrindavan temple, is as good as the deity.
Wow.
You know, that's like really getting on the Paramahansa, you know, heavy duty mm-hmm. plane, which most of us are not like, but from Prabhupada's vision, every brick in the temple was as good as. And then this, yeah.
I'm sure the time police have come in. It's almost 9 o'clock, and everything maybe should stop.
Oh, I'm ready to stop anytime. You know, just cut off the electricity, man. Get a scissor and cut my wire, man.
Thank you so much for your very nice class. I do have for everybody. Actually, everybody's still here. Just wanted to make an announcement that tonight Rishabh Dave is going to give Bhagavad Gita class for the first time. So please tune in if you like.
Which Rishabh Dave
from the UK.
Okay.
Disciple of Bhaktivedanta Maharaj.
All right. Okay.
And then don't forget that Irma is giving class tomorrow.
Right. She gives almost every other day, right?
Yeah. Twice a week.
She's pretty amazing. She's the powerhouse. All right. Glory to Prabhupada. Jai.
All good. Srila Prabhupada. Bhagavatam ki jai.
Jai.
Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
Jai. Srila Prabhupada. Guru Prabhupada. Arrivo.
Arrivo.